Congress begins its first full week today under divided control, with Democrats in the House and Republicans in the Senate and White House. On the surface, it's a recipe for gridlock. But OSF's healthcare chief lobbyist sees an opportunity for bipartisanship on drug prices and a few other key health policy issues. GLT's Ryan Denham talks to OSF's Vice President of Government Relations, Chris Manson, about the outlook in Washington and Springfield. They start on the recent ruling from a federal judge in Texas that the tax bill passed by Congress in December of 2017 effectively rendered the entire Affordable Care Act unconstitutional.
Well, the ruling, just by its very nature, obviously is significant. To have a federal judge say something is unconstitutional is enough to raise an eyebrow. But at the end of the day, I think it's important to remember that there is a long process that still has to unfold. I believe the decision either has been appealed or will be appealed shortly. I've also read and heard that there's other federal judges, I believe in Maryland, that basically completely contradicted the judge's decision in Texas, or the comments from the judge in Texas. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think this is going to work its way through the courts. Maybe it winds up back at the Supreme Court. But as far as looking at it from a healthcare perspective, or from a what happens next for OSF healthcare, it's, you know, business as usual. Nothing's changed. In fact, the federal judge in Texas even, you know, basically said, "Hey, nothing's getting implemented right away. Nothing stops." So, you know, open enrollment continued. People that have received coverage through Medicaid expansion based on the Affordable Care Act still have it. Open enrollment is all wrapped up now. So, I don't see any real changes in the immediate or short term, and then we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens with the courts, and we'll react accordingly.
Well, the new year will begin with divided government in Washington, Democrats controlling the House, Republicans the Senate and White House. So what do you think that'll mean for the likelihood of any meaningful health policy changes moving through Congress?
I mean, there's definitely a couple different ways to look at it. I mean, you know, some could say if the Republicans controlled everything, then, you know, you could go ahead and expect all kinds of legislation to move. But I think when you look back in the past 2 years, really any of the legislation that's moved around the healthcare space has been bipartisan already. There's been some work around opioids that, you know, dealing with the epidemic that we've been facing throughout this country. That was really a bipartisan effort. There's other legislation that's out there that's pending around drug pricing and how other types of healthcare is provided in rural communities. That continues to be worked on. It's being worked on in a bipartisan effort. It's more that what slowed it down to this point, I think, more has been the policies and the, you know, how to fund different things. So I'm actually fairly comfortable going into a new Congress where you've got, you know, kind of a split control, where you have the Democrats controlling the House, the Republicans controlling the Senate, and, you know, a Republican administration. Because I think at the end of the day, if something is needed, if the country needs something, if legislation needs to be passed, I think you'll see people come together. And, you know, I think we've already seen that, a few examples of that in this past Congress. I think we're seeing some stuff right now in this kind of lame duck session where, again, the Republicans are still in control, but you've got bipartisan effort around criminal justice reform, a farm bill. So I think there's already that bipartisan spirit, again, when it's something that's just so critical that you've got to, you know, the country's got to come together, or the Congress has got to come together and put something forward. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a lot of gridlock. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be a lot of disagreement, and there's going to be a lot of political fights coming out of Washington, D.C. But I think that happens that happens all the time. So it's kind of par for the course.
What about separate from Congress? Are there things that you think the Trump administration might pursue via executive order? Obviously, executive orders, you know, were used a lot during the Obama administration. I think Trump has certainly continued that. Are there things on the radar on that front?
Yeah, and so definitely an administration has a lot of has an ability to do a lot of stuff that doesn't necessarily need to go through Congress, and a lot of it's through the rulemaking process. So in healthcare, we're obviously a heavily regulated industry. You know, we receive reimbursement from Medicaid, we receive reimbursement from Medicare, And since we received that funding through Medicare, there's a lot of things that can be done at the federal level around with regulations around how that Medicare reimbursement is constructed that has big impact on hospitals and health systems like OSF. So we did see this past 2 years, we saw administration that on the positive side did a lot around regulatory relief, trying to go ahead and reduce some of the burdensome regulations to make it easier for businesses of all kinds to operate. And healthcare was no exception to that. And we also saw the administration try through regulation to control costs where possible. And so we've been on the receiving end of different cuts to reimbursement at the federal level from the administration, again, done through the regulatory process. And so we would expect as the country and administration continues to deal with the ever-increasing budget deficits and issues around, you know, how do we fund all of these programs, we would anticipate continued pressure on those reimbursements. And one of the mechanisms of doing that is through the regulatory process. So that's a concern that we have. We're happy, we're excited and happy with some of the stuff that was done on the regulatory front to ease some of the regulatory burden. We're also concerned about some of that cost control, because usually what that means for us is lower reimbursement rates for those Medicare patients that we see.
So Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat from Massachusetts, recently proposed a bill that would create a government-run pharmaceutical manufacturer, basically to mass-produce generic drugs and bring down prices. She says that 40% of generic drugs are made by a single company and that the majority are manufactured by just like one or two companies. Obviously, Warren is somebody who is potentially running for president, and so there may be a little bit of political theater to this proposal, certainly. But I want to get your reaction to an idea like that, and what are the issues that OSF thinks about when an issue like that pops up on its radar?
You know, at the end of the day, I think the underlying premise there is that there's a problem with the price of pharmaceuticals. And that's something that OSF, and I think really anybody, everybody, agrees with and recognizes. So the real question is, you know, what is the solution? Honestly, I haven't looked enough at Senator Warren's proposal to go ahead and to see if it's, you know, what the pros and the cons and where the possible pitfalls would be in it. But nonetheless, I think she's putting a marker out there to say, hey, look, this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And again, I think there is an opportunity there on the drug pricing side of things for bipartisan work. I mean, I was back in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago, and the thing that you heard on the Hill often from Democrats and Republicans is that there was a real sincere interest to try and do something around drug pricing. So what her proposal, what becomes of her proposal, I don't know. But as far as OSF's concerned, anything that looks at or anything that raises the attention of and causes people to focus on the cost and the rising cost of pharmaceuticals, that's positive. And that's the whole purpose, right, of the way our Congress is set up and the legislative process. So I'm sure it'll get an airing. I'm sure the issue around drug pricing will definitely get a good vetting and discussion. And we're definitely supportive of that, because we would agree 100% that the rising costs of drugs, pharmaceuticals in this country is not sustainable. And that definitely is a threat, you know, just to healthcare in general. And we've definitely got to do something about that.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Chris Manson, OSF Healthcare's Vice President of Government Relations. Chris, another issue that could come up in 2019 on a federal level relates to what's called the 340B drug discount program. Could you give our listeners a quick overview of what that is?
So the 340B drug discount program is a program that was passed by Congress a couple decades ago. What it basically does is it requires pharmaceutical companies to provide a drug discount to certain hospitals that qualify. And by qualifying, you have to serve a certain percentage of a community that's disadvantaged or meets certain federal criteria. And if you do meet those criteria, then as the hospital providing those services, you'll receive a discount or a savings on the drug purchases that you would purchase from particular pharmaceutical companies. So to give you an example, you might have a community that offers a cancer center that's providing an infusion center that's providing cancer treatments for patients, and these infusion drugs are very expensive. And if not for the 340B drug discount program, the hospital wouldn't be able to provide the infusion center, or wouldn't be able to have the infusion center provide the services, or it costs so much that it'd be cost prohibitive for the patients to receive it. And again, these are patients that are very vulnerable. They might not have access to insurance, or they've got, maybe they're on Medicaid or Medicare. What's been happening now for several years is the pharmaceutical industry realizes, hey, we're losing a lot of money, or not losing, but we're not making as much money as we could on these pharmaceuticals because we're giving these hospitals these discounts on these drugs. And so they've lobbied Congress quite a bit in the administration to go ahead and try and kind of reel back that program or pull that program back to limit the amount of discount and savings that hospitals receive from the program. It's important to note that this federally mandated program does not cost taxpayers a single dime. This is only the discount that pharmaceutical companies provide to hospitals or others that provide services in various communities. You've got this one powerful lobbying group trying to go ahead and roll back the program, and for them, ideally, it would be fewer hospitals would qualify to be 340B drug discount hospitals, and that would actually obviously generate more revenue for them. And then you have hospitals on our side, which are basically saying, hey, look, if we don't have this program, it's going to be more difficult for us to go ahead and provide the level of services that we provide in some of these disadvantaged communities. So that's been the discussion or the debate. But at some point, there'll probably be some sort of legislative fix that might permanently kind of set aside, kind of put this fight to bed. But again, with Democrats in control of the House and the Senate in control of Republicans, it's probably nothing that'll happen in the near future. And if it does happen, if something does come of it, it'll probably be truly a bipartisan kind of solution. So again, at the end of the day, that maybe that argues a little bit for divided government, because you'll have to really have all the sides come together to really come up with a solution.
Well, up to now, we've been talking federal healthcare policy, but what about here in Illinois? What are a couple of the big issues you're watching in 2019 coming out of Springfield? We've got a new Democratic governor, lots of new lawmakers down there. What are you watching for?
Well, I think everyone's looking at, just the fiscal stability of the state. It's been a rough few years for the state of Illinois, and part of this election was probably a referendum on that. And I think there's going to be a lot of focus, on dealing with just the annual debt, the large number of unpaid bills, the backlog there. That affects OSF, that affects, healthcare providers, not only on the Medicaid side, but, when you have state workers that have, we had state workers that, their insurance wasn't able to pay because the money wasn't there. And so I believe we're still trying to collect on those, not collect, but we're still working through the backlog of bills, and the state's eventually getting around to them. But when you're dealing with billions in unpaid bills by the state of Illinois, that just really hobbles the state's ability to really do anything else. And I think so that's the exciting thing about this election is you've got a governor that's been talking about it. He's put together a team, and OSF stands ready to work with the governor, the new administration, and both the Senate and the House to go ahead and try and come up with creative solutions on some of this stuff. And the hope would be, for us at the end of the day, you come up with a solution that creates sustainability and some fiscal solvency for the state, and then that translates into stronger safety net programs and a solid Medicaid program that can help us to serve those more vulnerable people in our community.
That is OSF's Vice President of Government Relations, Chris Manson, with GLT's Ryan Denham.